We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. A comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite show. Radio, oh, why did you ever go? Oh, won't you please come back and entertain us? I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you so.
Once again, it's time for Yesteryear. A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Well, thank you, Dave, and again, welcome to Yesteryear, the very best from the golden age of radio. On today's program, we'll head out west with Frontier Gentlemen, starring John Denner as J.B. Kendall. But first, it's time to turn out the lights. Arch Obler's famous horror program, Lights Out. Lights Out debuted New Year's Day 1934 in a late-night 15-minute format over a local station in Chicago. Radio's premier horror program then moved to the NBC airwaves and presented what many consider to be the ultimate in radio horror for the next decade. The series was created by Willis Cooper, an NBC staffer who later wrote the screenplay for Universal's Son of Frankenstein and created radio's memorable Quiet Please. Arch Obler took over as producer, director, scriptwriter for Lights Out following Cooper's departure. On this Lights Out program from World War II, we'll turn back the clock to May of 1943 and Heavenly Jeep. An American and a British soldier take a wrong turn and find themselves in the midst of a travel experience that's literally out of this world. Here's Arch Obler's Lights Out.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Merton Marr, Jameis, and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, vodio, dodio, do.
Lights out, everybody. It is later than you think. Lights Out brings you stories of the supernatural and the supernormal, dramatizing the fantasies and the mysteries of the unknown. We tell you this frankly. So if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these imaginative plays, we urge you calmly but sincerely to turn off your radio now.
This is Arch Obler. Tonight a story that's literally out of this world.
And now, lights out, everybody.
The Lord that passed the ammunition. Praise the Lord that passed the ammunition. Praise the Lord.
I say, Sergeant.
Yeah, Captain?
That's all. Rather monotonous, isn't it?
I don't know any more words.
Well, that's reassuring.
Yeah.
Sergeant.
Yes, sir?
Back home in America in civilian life, what were you?
A plumber.
Really?
Yep. Still carry my union card. What do you think I was, Cap?
Oh, one of those daredevil circus riders.
Oh, you mean I'm riding too fast?
Well.
Okay, Captain.
It isn't much of a road, you know.
Any speed you want, Captain.
You're doing fine.
Captain.
Yes?
You mind if I ask you something?
Well?
What were you? I mean, back in England. I mean, before the war. I mean, if you want to tell me.
Why not? I was a paleontologist.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That's all right, Sergeant. Even my best friends didn't quite know what that meant.
Paleon what?
A paleontologist. That means... Sergeant, pull up.
Yes, sir? What's the matter, Cap?
There's something wrong with this road.
Huh?
I remember distinctly a burnt-out Mark IV was just to the right before that ridge of dunes.
Oh, Captain, so help me. We're going the right way.
I don't know about that. I've checked my compass. Infernal desert roads. One never knows when... Well...
What's the matter, Captain?
Have your compass?
No.
Yeah, it seems that I've lost mine.
Uh-oh.
Well, I've simply got to get back to Medjazel Bob. I'm quite certain... It isn't in this direction.
Well, it sure looks like the road to me, Captain.
No, I'm positive about that burnt-out tank. I think we'd better cut to the right here.
Okay, Captain.
Hardly do to find ourselves back at Mr. Rommel's lines now, would it?
Maybe we will anyway.
What's that?
Well, I don't know about this road, sir.
You'll have to trust in my judgment, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Why so slow?
Well, this road don't look so kosher to me.
What does that mean?
Well, the Jerry's might have fixed it up with a few landmines.
Nonsense. Our engineers have cleared out every road within 50 miles. Go ahead. It's getting rather late. You'd better increase your speed.
Okay. You're the captain.
Landmines. I'll take my soul. There isn't a landmine within... Feeling all right, eh?
Yeah. All right.
Shoulder?
Okay.
These hours I've been sitting here thinking what a miracle it was. Hit a landmine and outside of a bruised shoulder, no harm done.
Yeah, only now we haven't got a jeep.
I understand how you feel, Sergeant. A man uses his judgment and... Sometimes he's wrong.
It's okay, Captain, okay. Only how long are we going to sit here?
No use trying to find our way back till daybreak.
Gee, sure was a swell jeep.
You were very lucky.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, come the dawn, like they say, somebody come along and pick us up. Meanwhile, laying here, it's okay.
Yes. Lovely night.
Captain?
Yeah?
You know anything about stars?
Little?
That bright one up there. How far away do you suppose it is?
Oh, I don't know exactly. Roughly speaking, I should think. Must be at least 150 light years away.
Light years?
Well, light years simply means a distance light can travel in 1 year, traveling at the rate of 186,000 miles per second. In other words, the light that you're looking at from that star traveled 150 times 6 quadrillion miles to get here.
You wouldn't kid me, would you, Captain?
Spooky?
Yeah.
That's scientific fact.
But how can they know? Who holds the other end of the tape measure?
The tape measure is purely mathematical. Believe me, it's all very accurate. But why the interest in that star, Sergeant?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, tell me.
Well, when I was a kid, me and my brother used to go on camping trips, and at night, I'd lie out and just like this and look at the stars and wish I could get up to them.
Very strange.
Huh?
Ever since I was a child, that subject, interstellar travels, fascinated me, too.
No kidding?
Move out into space, through our universe, beyond our universe. See the wonders of fire and flame. Then the celestial fireworks on the edge of the sun. One flame of which is greater than all our world. Move from cold star to cold star. See evolution repeating itself. Somewhere out there on a world as young as ours once was. Dinosaurs and flying reptiles. Men, or not quite men. and then move on to other planets where men perhaps so wise beyond our greatest hopes. Wonderful thing, Sergeant. Travel out into the heavens.
Gee, you sure can say the words, Captain.
The heavenly jeep, Sergeant. That's what we need.
Yeah, a heavenly jeep.
What's that, Sergeant?
Yeah, I hear.
From the north, Jerry.
Must be.
Look, it's getting light.
Yeah, ain't that a break? It gets light when they're coming.
Well, get down, stay down. You're silhouetted against the sky.
I'm down.
Sounds like quite a flight. Rommel must have got some new bombers from Crete during the night.
They won't last long.
Mighty low.
Sure getting daylight fast.
Well, I hope they don't decide to investigate this road in the jeep.
Here one comes.
Down. Stay down. Don't...
Captain?
Who's calling me?
It's me. Captain, where are you?
I don't know. It's so dark. Sergeant, I see you.
Yeah, I see you, Captain.
Why is it so dark? What happened?
I don't remember.
Where are we?
I don't know. I can't see too well.
We were on the sand, hiding. Were we hiding? Yes, I remember the Stuka.
Yeah.
It dove down on us, machine gunner. I felt my head a blow.
Captain, look.
What?
On the ground. It's you. You're here. It is you.
No, I'm perfectly all right. Sergeant, look over there.
Me?
Yes, it's you. You're all shot up.
Huh?
And yet you're standing here alongside me.
Yeah.
We're hanging in there. Sergeant.
Huh?
I do believe... We're dead.
What?
Dead.
I heard you.
I wonder what's supposed to happen now.
I don't know.
Free of our bodies. We seem to be free. Sergeant, listen to me.
Hmm?
We can do it now.
What
we were talking about before. We're dead, I'm sure of that. And free of our bodies. Hanging in the air. Free of our bodies. Take my arm. Take it, I say.
Okay.
Moving through space. Wish that. Will yourself to move through space.
Yeah.
We are moving through space.
Yeah.
We can do it, Sergeant. We can and we will.
What are you talking about?
What we wanted to do. Go star traveling. Visit a star.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing.
And now back to our lights-out story of the captain and the sergeant, who, finding themselves dead, decide to visit the world beyond this one.
Sergeant, are you all right?
I guess so, yeah.
Higher.
Captain, you gotta tell me how fast we're going. How fast?
Stars. Look at them.
So big.
Now look back.
What's that?
Don't you know? Look, Europe. Africa.
The world.
Hanging like a little globe.
Smaller.
That's how fast we're going. Speed of light. No, speed of thought.
But we're dead.
No, don't think that. Think of this man. Star traveling. who's ever done it before? Whoever will. We're traveling to the stars. Look at them. Billions on billions. World without end. Which one should we go to, Sergeant? Which one? Sergeant, I'm talking to you. Why, what?
Who? Who are you?
Woman.
Please, I'm frightened. Who are you?
But the Sergeant, where is he?
I don't know. I don't know anything. I'm frightened. I don't know where.
Oh, it's all right now. Don't be frightened. Hold on to my hand. I'm Captain James Wood. I have a station near El Bazar. Jerry's strafed us. I'm very certain that I'm dead.
Dead?
Yes.
Then I...
What happened to you? Think, please, it's important. Talk to me.
I was standing in the field back of the vestry house. I heard the sound of the planes.
Where? Where do you live?
Outside of Leeds.
When did it happen?
Just a little while ago. The bomb, I heard it. Then I didn't. I must be dead, too.
I think so.
Where are we going? Why am I with you?
I don't know.
We're someplace out in space. And I think we're moving so quickly. Why?
What were you thinking about as it happened?
I don't know what you mean.
I mean, back at your home, before the bomb. What were you thinking about just then?
I don't quite remember.
It's important. Tell me.
I think I was looking at the stars.
Yes.
And thinking how nice it would be to be able to go home to them.
Yes.
Oh, is that why?
Yes, I think it is.
Oh.
Captain.
Who?
Sergeant.
Right here.
Where?
Here, up in here.
Who is he?
Oh, he got hurt with me. Sergeant Byrd.
Nice to meet him. Captain, what goes here? I'm scared.
I am, too. And yet, Miss... what is your name?
Anne Hart.
Miss Harper, you understand, don't you? The sergeant and I were talking about star traveling, and that's what you were thinking about when you got blitzed. And that's where we're going. Right at that star. You do understand?
I'm trying to. Dead and going higher and higher to a star.
Holy cats.
It is possible.
Wonderful.
Back where we started.
What, Sergeant?
Flew all around and back where we started from. This is the world, ain't it?
No, that isn't possible.
What are you talking about? Green hills, birds, trees? It is the Earth.
Yes, it must be. Oh, we're back on the Earth.
I don't think so.
Huh?
Why do you say that, Captain?
We left the Earth. My senses told me that. Sergeant, you remember? The Earth behind us. Smaller and smaller. The continents outlined, remember?
But this, where are we now?
Where are we now?
I don't know. And yet I think I do. A place that's just like where we came from, but another world. You hear me? Another world.
Huh?
What?
Do you realize the miracle of it? A universe full of millions of stars, suns, flying comets, burning gas and heat and cold beyond understanding. One chance in millions of a star with air on it, with temperature just exact enough to permit life. Of another star with air surrounding it, just like our Earth. One chance in millions of another star with temperature mild enough to permit growing things the way we know them. And this it is. We're here. Another world, exactly like our own.
Then I'm not dead. I'm not dead.
Do you feel anything?
Huh?
The air is bright. There's a sun shining. No, look. Two suns in the sky. A large and a small one.
What's that got to do with me?
Yes, what's that to do with our being alive?
Do either of you feel the warmth?
Holy.
Look, that tree, it's bending in the wind.
Do you feel the wind, either of you? I don't.
I don't either.
Well, what does it mean? You've got to tell me.
What I said before must be true. We're dead, but getting our last wish, that must be God's gift to all the dead.
As long as we're here and know that we're here, I suppose that's all that matters.
I'm not dead. I know I'm not dead.
All right, Sergeant, all right. The important thing is to...
Why did you stop talking?
Captain, what are you...
You see?
Yeah.
What is it? What are you both looking at?
Well, that ride is over there.
What?
I think we saw a man.
There he is again.
Well, from the look of him, we've stumbled on another Garden of Eden.
But his face.
What?
Can't you see? His face. Look at his face.
Hey, you. We're talking to you. Don't you understand words? Who are you? Why have they got you fenced up? Hey, what's the matter with them? Keep yelling at them and all they do is make that noise.
This fence. Why is it all around the field? Why is it around them?
Captain, we're talking to you. All these men and women and children, why are they fenced in? What's the matter with them?
Their faces, all of them, so empty. What's the matter with them?
I don't know.
Insane. That's it. They're insane.
Yeah, that's it. Nuts. 12-foot fence. That's why they got it, to keep all the nuts in.
Perhaps.
But how inhuman, those poor little children, the women. No protection against the sun.
I'm with you, lady. You ain't got no right to treat anybody this way. Captain, come on, we'll see the CO. I mean, whoever's in charge, and tell them what we think. Captain, what's the matter?
Have you forgotten where we are?
Huh?
Well, it doesn't matter. Of course you're right. We must do what we can for these unfortunate people.
But where's the house, the asylum?
The trees are so thick. We'll just have to follow this fence until we come to the main house.
Yes.
Coming, Sergeant?
Yeah.
Captain.
What is it?
Could it be possible the enclosure is some sort of a concentration camp?
It's possible.
Like in Germany?
They've stopped murmuring.
Yeah.
They're all looking in the other direction.
What?
Quickly, in the brush. Get behind that brush.
Yes.
Okay.
There's nothing.
Listen.
What?
A plane.
I don't know.
Airplane?
I see it over the trees. There, it's circling. What? Godfrey.
What is it?
I'll go see.
Wait, stay where you are. It's landing in the enclosure.
Please tell me, what is it?
I don't know.
It's a box.
Yes. An insect as large as a man.
Listen to the people.
Yes.
Why are they clustering around that thing? Why?
Captain, did you see
what? Yes, it's feeding them.
An insect feeding men.
It's a rootin' truth. Look at it. They're sticking their faces up toward it like a farmer and his pigs.
Oh, no.
Farmer and his pigs.
Captain, why did you say it too? I was only talking. Do you hear me? I was only talking.
The truth.
Huh? What did you say? Captain, what is this? What is that thing out there?
I don't quite know, but I think it's an ant.
Ant?
A winged ant. And I think he's feeding his stock.
No. Why do you say that? It ain't true.
Look at them.
No, it can't be. They're people like you and me. A bug feeding them. Captain, you got brains. How could a thing like that be? Tell me.
We're in another world. Accept that fact. We're in another world. A world just like our own in climate and in structure, with one great difference. And yet a small difference, cosmically. The race of man is not the primary creature here. Here the lords and rulers are the animal world. Yes. The insects. The cleverest of them all, the ants. Huge ants. Like that one, I tell you, if it's as clever in proportion as the tiny ones I watched in my garden back in England, then this world is a better integrated place than where we came from. Look at that ant. Why, if it stood erect, it would be at least 7 feet tall. Magnificent.
Magnificent? Lady, did you hear him? He's out of his head. A bug big as a truck feeding people like us, and he calls it magnificent.
Yet it's true. Captain, you are right. Frightening, but you are right.
You too? Lady, you too?
Sergeant, I told you in another
no,
word.
No, I listen to you. You listen to me, both of you. This magnificent stuff, this malarkey about that bug and others like it running things, I tell you, it's not for me. Bugs crawl on the ground or they fly and you swat them. They don't put 12-foot fence around you and keep you there. They don't feed you.
An objective attitude is necessary.
What do you mean,
to...
an objective attitude? They're kids and men and women, and look at them begging that thing for a handout. When it's fed him fat enough, what do you think he does with them? What do you think?
But another
Stop
world.
Stop talking about another world. I don't want any part of it. I want to get out of here. You, both of you, you got too many brains for me. Me, I just feel things, and I don't want any part of this world. I'm tired, and I want to go back where I belong. It's a cockeyed world, all right, but at least there, it's a man's world, and a man's got a fighting chance.
Sergeant, stay down.
No, I won't stay down. This place with its super concentration camp and people like pigs, it's not for me. I want to get out of here. I don't have to be here. I'm not dead. Do you hear me? I'm not dead. I'm not dead. I'm not dead. I'm not dead.
Take it easy. You're all right. Relax, Sergeant. I'll have you back in a base hospital in a few moments.
Where?
Captain Wood?
Yeah. Captain Wood, where?
We had to bury him out there. The Stuka that strafed you did a pretty complete job.
I
don't try to talk. Lucky the ambulance driver took the wrong turn of the road or we'd never have found you. Another hour out there, and we had to check you off, too. Between the hot sun and the ants.
Ants?
Yeah.
Tell me, Captain really dead?
Yeah. Too bad.
It's okay.
What?
The Captain is just where he wants to be. That's okay.
Why, yes, we gave him a decent burial. He'll rest in peace.
That's where you're wrong.
What?
Him and his girl, they won't rest. They got too many brains to stay quiet dead. They'll keep on, what did he call it? Star traveling. Yeah. Star traveling.
Well, Mr. Obler, I must say, a pleasant prospect.
What do you mean?
Well, this future you outlined for us, traveling to other worlds and finding that the ants or the bees or the termites have taken over.
No, that's no prophecy, Frank. That's just a possibility. Scientists have long agreed that the bees and the ants and the termites are, well, they have community organizations and a willingness to sacrifice for the good of their fellow beings is really remarkable. Under proper conditions, they're... Well, there would be the possibility of a world ruled by the insects. I can hear some cynics out there saying that surely the ants and the bees and the termites couldn't have made a worse mess of this world than certain ones of us have in this, well, these 1,943 years since.
My goodness, how time flies. There's Arch Obler's Lights Out from 1943 and Heavenly Jeep. When we return, let's head out west and enjoy an episode of Frontier Gentlemen, starring John Denner as J.B. Kendall. That as yesteryear continues.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
As our program continues, it's time to saddle up, head out west, and enjoy an episode of Frontier Gentlemen. Frontier Gentlemen was one of radio's finest adult westerns and featured an Englishman's account of life and death in the West. London Times journalist J.B. Kendall was portrayed by John Denner, a former Broadway actor and Disney animator. Frontier Gentlemen aired on CBS from February through November of 1958, when Denner was cast as the man called Paladin on the radio version of Have Gun, Will Travel. From February of 1958, it's Frontier Gentlemen and Charlie Meeker, starring John Denner as J.B. Kendall, Jeanette Nolan as Dolly, and Lawrence Dobkin as Johnny. All here on Yesteryear.
The great chief of the Sioux Indians is Sitting Bull. He's a rather difficult chap to meet, especially when he's planning for war.
Frontier Gentlemen. Herewith, an Englishman's account of life and death in the West. As a reporter for the London Times, he writes his colorful and unusual accounts. But as a man with a gun, he lives and becomes a part of the violent years in the new territories. Now, starring John Daner, this is the story of J.B. Kendall, Frontier Gentleman.
The distance from South Sunday to Rosebud in Montana Territory is about 30 miles. Due to a heavy rainstorm and my lack of funds, it had taken me a week to reach Rosebud. Luckily, when I arrived, my remittance from England, $250, had already been forwarded and I was once again solvent. After posting off my weekly report to the London Times, I went to the most likely place in Rosebud to get local color and information. Except for the bartender polishing his glasses and a cat on the bar, the place was quite empty. I ordered a drink.
Two bits.
Thank you.
It's all right. Hush up, cat. Where are you from, mister?
London.
London, England?
That's right.
Well, if that don't beat all, my great-grandpa come from there. Uh-huh. Jackson Beeson's her name.
J.B. Kendall.
Well, howdy.
How do you do, sir? Tell me, Mr. Beeson, what's the situation with the Indians these days?
Well, now you come to the right place for that bit of news. Oh, get away, cat. Yes, sir, we're going to have trouble. You can thank your stars that we got General Gibbon here keeping an eye out. I hear tell Custer's on his way, too.
Oh, bad as that, huh?
Worse. Well, just yesterday, correspondence fella like you, he come in, works on the Montana Telegraph News. Jackson, he says, them Sioux is working up to a boil. Oh, it's going to be wicked, mighty wicked.
Do you think it'll mean war?
I don't have to think, I know. You cat, get out of here. Go on, get out, get out. Darn cat's a regular drunkard.
This correspondent chap, is he still here?
Charlie Meeker? Oh, sure, he's around somewhere.
I'd like to meet him.
Right nice fella. Now, let's see, you might try up to Dolly's place, cross the street there, second house on the right. Can't miss it. Just ask for Charlie. He rooms at Dolly's.
Thanks very much.
Mm-hmm. And look, if he ain't there, I'll tell him you're looking for him when he comes back. You stop by tonight.
Right.
Well, hello, early bird.
Good afternoon, madam. this is Dolly's place?
Why, sure it is. You come on in. Ah. It's nice and warm inside, honey.
I'm looking for a gentleman named Charles Meeker.
Charlie? What do you want with him?
Oh,
Well, I was told I could find him here. The bartender...
Oh, Jack Beeson sent you?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
All right. Well, step inside. I'm freezing my... Barry! Go wake up, Charlie. There's a fella here to see him. I guess you better wait in the parlor. Say, now, I hope you'll forgive the looks of this room. Some of the boys got a little rowdy last night. And we haven't cleaned it up yet.
Not at all. Charming.
You're new in Rosebud, ain't you?
Yes.
Well, that's nice. That's real nice. I can see you're a gentleman. Always nice to meet a gentleman. Sit down. Make yourself comfortable. Mr.
Kendall.
Well, Mr. Kendall, you're a friend of Charlie's, huh?
No, we've never met.
Well, he's a nice boy. He's real nice. He sure never forgets me. Anytime he's in these parts, he brings old Dolly a present. Can I get you a drink?
No, thanks, just the same.
Hey, you ain't a dominie, are you?
Dom?
A preacher?
Oh, no.
Well, I sure do admire to hear you talk. We should say something else.
Somebody looking for me, darling?
Oh, this here's Mr. Kendall, Charlie boy.
All right.
How do you do, sir?
Well, you got business to talk, so make yourselves at home. It's sure been a pleasure, Mr. Kendall. Maybe you'll call again.
Thank you very much.
You'll have to excuse me, Kendall. I just woke up. Big night. Oh. And a big head. What can I do for you?
I understand you write for a newspaper, Mr. Meeker.
Charlie. Yeah, Virginia City, Montana Telegraph News.
I know. I do some correspondence myself for the London Times.
Hey, I'm proud to meet you.
May I return the compliment? Look here. Is it true what I've been hearing, these rumors about a Sioux uprising?
Yeah, more than rumors. It's coming.
Well, this chief, Sitting Bull, have you ever seen him?
Once, a few years back. Big council between one of our government commissions and the Indians.
Oh, I'd like to meet him. See him, you know?
No, not a chance. Not anymore. While ago, maybe, but those Indians don't trust the white man now. I tell you, they're getting ready for war.
Is there any way to make contact with him?
Probably. There's plenty of Indian scouts, interpreters hereabouts who could, but... Yeah, for a white man, it'd be worth his scalp.
How would one go about it?
Are you serious?
Completely. Do you know where I could find him?
I got a pretty good idea. You want a drink?
No, thank you.
There's talk of a whole lot of Indians moving off the reservations, going up Tongue River country. Might be headed for Sitting Bull's camp.
How far would that be?
30 miles, maybe. Now, listen, mister. When the Sioux go on the warpath, the best place for you and me is someplace else.
Well, do you think you could find me one of those Indian scouts? Someone to guide me to Sitting Bull's camp.
You mean it, don't you?
Absolutely.
What a story. Interview with Chief Sitting Bull? Oh, it's crazy. They'd kill us, sure. No, Kendall, the best thing for you is to talk to some of the old-timers. They'll tell you about him, and then you can send your report in on that. It's a whole lot safer.
That evening in Beeson's saloon, Charlie Meeker found a half-breed interpreter, Johnny Duchel. He was a big man, dark, with handsome features, and when he smiled, which he did constantly, there was something at odds in his eyes, veiled, a coldness. He was playing a game of solitaire, and as he dealt his cards, I noticed that inside his sleeve was a wrist holster, strapped to it a derringer.
You want to talk with Sitting Bull?
That's right, Johnny.
Him too?
Me too.
Suppose he don't want any talk with you. Suppose he want to take your scalp.
That would be rather awkward.
Johnny, how well do you know the chief?
How well does any man know another?
Charlie says you've done scouting work for General Crook. Well, doesn't that make you Sitting Bull's enemy?
Yesterday I scout for the soldier. Tomorrow, maybe I fight with the Indian. Who knows?
Yes. Well, the point would seem to be, whose side are you on if you do guide us?
If I do this thing, you put your trust in me.
I see.
Well, what do you say, Johnny? Can you take us to him?
Black ace on the red two.
Yeah. You got $50, Silver?
Kind of high, isn't it?
Sitting Bull won, big chief. You want me to take you to Red Cloud, Crazy Horse? Maybe cost less.
What do you think, Kendall?
I'm not sure.
Maybe you find somebody, do it for less. He take you to Indian, cut out your heart, huh?
Now, Johnny's all right. 25 apiece would be worth it.
All right. When, Johnny?
Tomorrow.
Fine.
Take no guns.
Hey, wait a minute.
Indians see you with guns, they say you coming for no good. Without guns, in peace. No guns.
It's sort of risky, isn't it, Johnny?
Not with me along with you.
What time?
We meet outside the state station. 6 o'clock.
See you then.
Well, then you better give it to me right now. There, then. All right.
Well, you still want to go?
I'm not sure about that fellow.
That's a chance you take these days. We can back out.
No. But to be on the safe side, Charlie, I think two guns in shoulder holsters would make me feel a bit better.
Sure. You got them? Never use a gun myself.
No. Oh, yes, yes, I've got them. Look here, Charlie. Now, this is my idea. No need for you to come along, you know.
What's the matter? You want the story for yourself?
No, no, not that at all.
I'm sorry.
I only thought that...
Forget it. We'll go together. Hey, how about coming over to Dolly's with me for nightcap?
No, thanks. Not tonight. Sleep for me.
Oh. Well, see you in the morning. We can pick up horses at the livery stable. So long.
I watched him walk away, a rather short, thin man, shoulders a little rounded. And then he was lost in the shadows, and I had that odd sensation of having lived this moment before. It had been in Peshawar, in northern India. I remembered a good friend who had walked away from me in the night. The next morning, his head was thrown through the barracks window.
In a moment, we return to Frontier Gentlemen.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
And now we return you to Anthony Ellis's production of Frontier Gentlemen.
The morning was gray, a bit windy. We left Rosebud at 6 o'clock and rode steadily toward the southeast. I could see no sign of a gun on our guide, Johnny Duchelle, but his bulky jacket could have hidden an arsenal. For perhaps over an hour, we didn't speak. Charlie, red-eyed from want of sleep and too much whiskey, nodded in his saddle. The half-breed traveled a little ahead of us, cautious, watchful.
Hey, Kendall.
Yes?
Never drink Dolly's Rotgut.
I won't.
I can take the pepper, even the tobacco juice she puts in it. But that whiskey...
You know, we had a cure for your complaint in India.
Oh?
Curry powder, ginger, a snake's head, preferably a cobra, a big spoon of sugar, stew the whole thing in a pot of strong tea, and then drink it down. Exactly. It's a miraculous cure. You'd probably end up chucking the whole mess out the window, but you forgot your headache.
What were you doing in India?
Army, mostly.
Officer?
At one time, captain.
See much fighting?
Enough.
What were you with?
The cavalry regiment.
You don't like to talk about it much, do you?
No, not much.
Hey, better hold up. Johnny's seen something.
In timber. Cheyenne, I think. You stay. I talk to them.
How many? Can you see?
5 or 6. Might be others in the woods.
You know something funny? I'm scared.
Think about your headache.
No, thanks. Too close to my hair. You ever see a scalp man?
No. But I shouldn't worry. The tribesmen do much nastier things to get their trophies in India.
Johnny must know them. Look.
All very friendly. Hello. They must have given their blessings.
You think so?
Either that or Johnny has made an arrangement with them to cut our throats. He looks happy enough.
That tall wolf and his braves. They will ride to the council. Tell of our coming.
Glad to hear it.
We go on now.
Johnny smiled, turned away, and we rode on. I had the distinct feeling that he knew exactly what he was doing, and we didn't. Another hour passed. If there were more Indians about, we didn't see them. The terrain was becoming more rugged, and when we reached a narrow stream, Johnny called a halt.
We rest the horses.
All right.
Think I'll get myself a drink. Water, that is.
Funny, we haven't seen any more Indians, Johnny.
They all had great counsel.
You seem pretty sure we won't be attacked.
I told Tall Wolf you come in peace.
Possibly there are others beside Tall Wolf who won't feel as he does.
Possibly. We see you at the council.
Well, you're not worried, though.
I am not worried.
You're smiling.
Good for a man to smile.
Depends on his reason.
I smile because you paid me 50 silver dollars to bring you here.
Tell me, Johnny, what will it cost to take us back?
The cost to you will not matter. I think you will not be going back.
He made a slight movement with his hand, and a derringer appeared in it. For a moment, I had forgotten his wrist holster. He was standing no more than 4 feet from me, and I didn't move. If you've ever seen what a .41 derringer can do to a man, you'd understand. Then he brought out a revolver from his jacket and backed away a few steps. That was when I saw Charlie at the stream. He had a rock in his hand, his arm cocked back. At the moment he threw it, the half-breed turned and saw him. Where are you hit, Charlie?
Chest. Boy, that feels worse than Dolly's rock gut.
He's not dead?
No, I'm not dead, you stinking breed.
You, Kendall, take off your jacket. Untie those shoulder holsters. Let them fall to the ground. Move back. Stop. You both got more silver. Give it to me.
I'll spit in your eye first.
I told Tall Wolf. I take you to Sitting Bull as my prisoner, alive. He will think well of me, give me place of trust.
Your own mother wouldn't trust you, Johnny.
With much silver, 2 horses, even a stinking breed will be important man. Give it to me.
You'll find a bag in my jacket.
Good. Now, you both, you walk. I ride behind.
Can you get up, Charlie?
Sure.
Yeah, I'll help you. It's my fault. I should have done something sooner. I wasn't sure about him.
Walk! Cross the stream. Follow the trail.
Come on. Lean on me.
I can't go on the board.
He is dead.
Let me put him on a horse.
He called me stinking breed. Let him walk.
He can't. He's done in.
Then you carry him.
Let him rest for a minute.
A minute.
Charlie. Charlie, can you hear me? Listen to me, Charlie. The trail narrows a few yards along. There's a slope on our left. Do you hear me, Charlie?
Yeah.
I'm going to let you fall. If I can get him to take his eyes off me, there's a knife in my boot.
All right.
All right.
Good luck.
All right, Charlie. Up you come. Getting close, Charlie. Now, when you fall, keep your head down in case he starts shooting.
What a way to die. I could hit Dolly's right now.
If we get back alive, I'll join you. About 10 more steps, Charlie. Now, Charlie! For a moment, I had a glimpse of Charlie sliding, falling down the hill slope. Then he disappeared into the underbrush. I turned to face Johnny Duchel, the knife in my hand. Johnny was standing in his stirrups, craning his head to see over the trail's edge. He was no more than 15 feet from me. It must have been the horse shifting its weight that disturbed my aim. I threw, and the knife struck high on his shoulder. He half fell from the saddle, and I ran for him. I felt one of the bullets from his gun burn my cheek. Oh. Then we were rolling down the hill. Somewhere on the way, he lost the gun, but the knife was stabbing. Cutting at me. Charlie. Charlie. It's all right. It's all right, Charlie. He's finished. He's finished.
Something tells me we don't get the seasitting bull today.
Better luck next time.
Hey, Kendall. Whiskey's paid for. But I owe Dolly for room and board. It's only...
Charlie. Charlie. I took Charlie back to Rosebud, to Dolly's place. She had me put the little man on the parlor couch. Then she knelt by his side, took his hand in hers.
Charlie, boy, it's Dolly. This was my place, huh, mister? Like the one I never had. My good, bad boy. Dolly misses you, Charlie, boy. Wake up.
Most of Rosebud attended the funeral of Charles Meeker. I sent the story to his own newspaper, as well as to the London Times. And for Charlie, I decided to stay on in Rosebud to have another shot at a meeting with Sitting Bull.
Frontier Gentlemen was written, produced, and directed by Anthony Ellis and stars John Daner as J.B. Kendall. Featured in the cast were Jeanette Nolan, Lawrence Dobkin, Harry Bartell, and Junius Matthews. Thank you. join us again next week for another report from the Frontier, gentlemen. Johnny Jacobs speaking. This is the CBS Radio Network.
From February of 1958, there's Charlie Meeker and Frontier Gentlemen, starring John Denner as J.B. Kendall, Jeanette Nolan as Dolly, Lawrence Dobkin as Johnny, Harry Bartell as Charlie Meeker, and Julius Matthews as Jason Beeson. We'll be back with you again next week at this time, so let's make it a date and together enjoy the best from the golden age of radio here on Yesteryear. Till next time, I'm Craig Roberts. So long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. Comedy, mystery, fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite show. Radio, I miss you so. Do-de-o-do-de-o-do.